Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A video on YouTube that shows Boston police arresting a 16-year-old boy at Roxbury Community College has now been viewed about 100,000 times.
Why are you hitting him in the back, dog? Not in the back!
Many viewers have said they think the arrest amounts to an excessive use of force. One officer is seen punching and kneeing the boy. That officer, Michael McManus, has been reassigned to desk duty while the Boston Police Department conducts an internal investigation. McManus was also involved in the 2008 arrest of an Emmanuel College student who stopped breathing in police custody and later died. Other people who've watched the video defend the police. They point out that the recording might not show factors that could explain the officer's use of force. But that's not what we're going to talk about now. We're going to focus on this point in the arrest, which happens about 4 minutes into the shaky cell phone video.
Okay.
A different officer, not McManus, approaches the woman taking the video. He holds up his hand and he says, "You can't record." She seems to comply with his order for a few seconds, but then she keeps recording as the officer walks away. She also makes an audible comment about how nobody should mess with her because, in her words, her godmother is a state rep. It's a tiny moment with no follow-up. The videographer was not arrested or escorted away or forced to give up her phone. But in recent years, Boston police have arrested people for recording police officers in public. Is that legal? Here to help us answer that question is Sarah Wunsch, an attorney with the ACLU of Massachusetts. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Sarah, let's start with what may seem to be a simple question, and maybe you can tell us what as much definitively as you can, which is it illegal to record police in public?
It is not illegal to openly record anybody out in public. The state law on wiretapping makes it a felony to willfully, secretly hear or record audio conversations. So if you're using what they call an intercepting device, anything that transmits sound like that could be considered an intercepting device. If you use it secretly, if you hide it and record somebody who has no idea that you're doing that, that is a crime. But when you hold up a cell phone, whether the person notices you or not, especially out in a public place, that is not doing anything secret. You're not being surreptitious. You're not trying to hide it. You're holding it up and you're recording. And even if it includes audio as well as video, that is not a crime. You should not be arrested for it. And we are very distressed because the Boston police have arrested people for that.
Right. So if, as you say, it is not illegal to openly record anyone, let alone police officers, why has the police department arrested people for that?
Well, I can't answer that for them. I have a view, which is, I think, in general, some police officers don't want a record to be made of how they are behaving in public. And unfortunately for them, this is supposed to be a free society, a democratic society, where those who carry out law enforcement duties should be subject to public scrutiny. That's the only way we'll remain a free society.
And have the courts have had opportunities to step in. Do you want us to give an overview of what they've said?
In Massachusetts, now there are statutes like this all around the country, but in Massachusetts, we had one case that went up to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts involving a man named Michael Hyde, who did secretly record an encounter he had with police officers who stopped him down in Abingdon. He was so distressed by the tenor of the officer's conduct toward him that a few days later he went down to the police station. He said he wanted to make a complaint, and he said, "And here, listen to this." He handed over a copy of the recording. The chief of police exonerated his police officers, and they brought felony wiretapping charges against Michael Hyde. He was convicted. He appealed. The SJC upheld his conviction, saying he secretly recorded, and that's a crime whether he recorded police officers or not. We disagreed with that decision, but that's the decision. But at the same time, the majority opinion, and I have to say it was a divided court, Justices Marshall and Cordy dissented and said he should not have been found guilty. Even the majority opinion says if he had held his recording device in plain sight, that's not secret and that would not have been a crime. Subsequent to that, we had a young man, a young lawyer named Simon Glick, recent graduate of New England School of Law, wanted to get a job in the DA's office. He's walking down Tremont Street along the Boston Common, and he sees a number of Boston police officers using force against another young person.
And this was what looked like a drug arrest. The police were trying to take a plastic bag out of a teenager's mouth.
They looked like, I think, they were throttling over the side of a park bench. But the person being throttled had a friend who kept saying, "You're hurting him, stop it, you're hurting him." Simon looked at it, thought maybe this was excessive force. He took out his cell phone. Standing about 10 feet away, he starts to record. The police get done with the young guy they're arresting, and then one officer comes over to Simon and says, "Okay, that you've taken enough pictures now." And Simon says, "I recorded it. I saw you punch him." And the officer then says, "Were you recording audio?" And he says, "Yes." And boom, he is under arrest for violating the state wiretap statute, for aiding the escape of a prisoner, and disturbing the peace. And he had to go through an entire court process to get those charges thrown out. And we are now suing. We have a federal civil rights suit in federal court in Boston on his behalf, saying his rights to be free from an arrest without probable cause, and his rights under the First Amendment to observe and obtain information about what the police are doing, those rights have been violated.
Listeners, we are talking about what rules apply, what laws apply when it comes to recording, audio or video recording police officers in public. This stems from a Roxbury Community College arrest last week where a police officer told an amateur videographer that she was not allowed to record. She kept recording anyway. He didn't try to stop her, but that's raised the issue of whether there are laws that prevent that. We want to know if you think it's right to record police officers making an arrest or if you think it's wise to do that. We also want to know if you've ever done it or if you've ever been tempted to but felt afraid to. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I'm talking to Sarah Wunsch. She's an attorney for the ACLU in Massachusetts. Sarah, we asked the Boston Police Department if it would participate today in this conversation. BPD declined, but the spokeswoman over there, Elaine Driscoll, gave us this statement, which I'll read. She said, number one, the Boston Police Department is guided by the state law on wiretapping, which allows for individuals to record video and audio. It is against the law to record audio secretly, but other than that, citizens have the same rights to record as the media, for example. Number two, she writes, the request to not record made by the officer during the course of the arrest at Roxbury Community College is under investigation. The Boston Police Department will determine if additional training on the issue is necessary for our officers. And number three, I think it is also still important to note that the recorder declined to stop recording and was allowed to continue to do so. Now, that was the most recent policy language that BPD spokeswoman Elaine Driscoll sent us. But last night, she sent us this additional statement. She said, it is only against the law to record audio without the other person having knowledge of that recording. So I think that raises an issue of what is sufficient knowledge that you are being recorded. Is that
well? I'm laughing because they keep shifting their statement of what their policy is, and there's a huge difference between saying what's punishable is if you secretly record. That's one position, but to say it's a crime to record if the party doesn't have knowledge that you're recording, that's crazy. I mean, you radio people are out on the Boston Common and TV people are out there with big, long microphone booms, and you're doing it openly. Your conduct is what is at stake here. If you are not supposed to be recording somebody secretly, it's your conduct that's in question. Are you hiding a microphone? Are you pretending that you're not recording? Are you hiding it somehow? Are you being surreptitious? It has nothing to do with whether the police officer who's got his back turned to you has knowledge. Otherwise, they could arrest They could arrest you, Sasha, for recording them when they didn't know it, acting in a public place where anybody can hear their voices.
Sarah Wunsch, we have another person in the studio with us. This is Tom Nolan. Tom is a professor of criminal justice at Boston University. Before teaching at BU, he was a 27-year veteran of the Boston Police Department. Tom, thanks to you two for being here. Tom, you were a uniform patrolman. You were on a motorcycle SWAT unit. You were a lieutenant. You were on the anti-gang violence unit. Before I have you weigh in on the larger issue, during your police career, which lasted almost three decades, did anyone ever film you making an arrest that you were aware of?
I think the use of film, I think, goes back to the 90s. I have a specific memory of several instances where people were using video recording to make a record of what was going on in a street situation, yes.
And did that feel disruptive to you, or what do you think could be potentially disruptive about that that would make police want to step in and say, stop doing that?
Well, it's a little disconcerting to have somebody rolling video when you're making an arrest because your actions could be subject to misinterpretation by somebody looking at it later. So,
what if witnesses say, how can video lie?
Well, I mean, I think we've seen these video clips recently that are subject to being edited, and you can call out material that you think is incriminating toward the police and leave material in that you think goes to your argument.
And as we talked about earlier in the show during this introduction, there are some people who think that we don't know what happened before that arrest. We don't know how the boy ended up on the ground. Is part of the issue for police. You may not have seen what led up to the point where we had to be what may appear to be rough to the public.
Well, you absolutely did not see what precipitated the use of force by the police in the situation at Roxbury Community College. And I think that's conspicuous in its absence. And it might, for people who would be concerned about what they saw in the video, might explain away how it could come to pass that the police felt they needed to use this kind of force.
So do you agree with Sarah Wunscher at the ACLU has basically said that any non-concealed recording is public, whether or not the parties are explicitly notified. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think that it's a training issue for the police. I think the police need to establish a policy whereby officers are made aware that any time you are in a public place performing a lawful function and somebody is there and their presence, they're there lawfully, they can and will video record and audio record what's going on.
Tom Nolan, one of our producers, Adam Ragusea, had an email exchange with Sarah Wunsch earlier today or yesterday. And one of your emails, Sarah, said, it's not just about recording. It's about the police not wanting witnesses. This is your view, Sarah.
Yes.
And you referenced the David Woodman case. This is the student who was, is it Emmanuel College
he
student?
He had taken a semester off, but he had an Emmanuel
College. He ended up dying in police custody. Yes. You say that Boston police told his friends they had to leave or they would be arrested. As a result, when David Woodman died, there was no one there but police.
He didn't actually die on the street with
right.
the police. He went into, we don't know, all his friends were forced to leave. So all we had was the word of the police officers on the scene about what happened. He did go into cardiac arrest. He finally got taken to the hospital. He lived for 11 days and then died.
Tom Nolan, do you think that Sarah Wunsch's comment, which is that it's not just about recording, it's about the police not wanting witnesses, is fair?
I think it's not an unfair assessment. I think the police, part of their culture is that, and I was a part of this for many years, is that we don't want onlookers recording what we are doing in a street situation for fear that that may come back to haunt us and be misinterpreted by those who would look at this kind of recording. So it is part of the police subculture that they are resistant to this.
Let's bring in a caller. We have several who want to weigh in. And this is Adam calling from Brighton. And Adam, what is your thought about this issue?
Well, I was just thinking, as the other gentleman was just stating, that the police are able to, don't want onlookers because it's part of the subculture, where my stance is if they are not doing anything incorrectly and they're following procedure, that they should have absolutely nothing to worry about. And as citizens, we're told to know our rights. And one of our rights is to be able to record if it's out in the open, like you were saying. And so if that's one of my rights, a police officer shouldn't be able to violate it because he's worried what's going to happen to him.
Adam, thank you for that. Tom Nolan, do you want to address this?
I think it's something that the police over time will not necessarily embrace, but they will come to a place where they agree with this, that this is something that is part of 21st century policing, that people are going to be recording you and it can be used to your benefit, but it's an education issue for the police. It's a training issue for them. They need to be brought to the place where they where they embrace this.
So you think we're in a learning curve stage, in a sense?
Exactly. We're in a learning curve with technology as it advances and progresses. I think the police will come to a place where they see that this is not a, necessarily a bad thing, that that it can come to their defense in cases like the Woodman case, for example. If the police did nothing wrong and there was a video of that situation as it was occurring, I think that would have been helpful to the police position.
We have another caller, and this is Jason from Dorchester. And Jason, what do you think about this issue of videotaping police?
I think everybody should be able to videotape a cop doing his job, because if he's not, if he has nothing to hide, you should be able to put him on camera.
Jason, you had a personal story, I understand, that you mentioned to a producer when you called in. What happened to you?
Yes, I was arrested several months ago because the officer was harassing my friends, and I said, I'm going to put this on camera. He said, turn off your camera. I'm like, no. So as he's searching me, I told my friend, put the camera on me, since the cop says I can't put him on camera. Put the camera on me to show exactly what I'm doing. And the cop said, that's wiretapping, you know, that's wiretapping, whatever. I found out it was wiretapping after I was in the cell.
In the cell, so you were arrested?
Yes.
So you're arrested on wiretapping charges. Jason, thank you for that. Sarah, once you've seen these cases frequently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after our young lawyer had to go through his criminal court proceeding and got the charges thrown out, and there is a written opinion from the judge of the Boston Municipal Court about that, still, you'd think the police should have learned from that incident. But no, they continued to arrest. My office was called by another guy, John Sermuds, who was arrested across the street from a party. Same thing, held up his cell phone to record what he viewed as police abuse. They come over and they arrest him and charge him with illegal wiretapping. We tried to get them to drop those charges, and the Boston police wouldn't drop them. We begged the district attorney's office to not proceed with the prosecution. What did they tell us? They came back and said, no, the Boston police want to pursue this. We can't drop it. So we had to take up a court's time, and a judge again agreed with us and dismissed the charges. But we're actually interested in hearing from people who've been charged in the last couple of years with unlawful wiretapping if they've openly recorded the police.
Tom Nolan, so some people end up being charged with wiretapping statute violations when they're recording police. But is it correct that sometimes the charge might also be interfering with an arrest or disturbing the peace? Are these other sort of catch-all charges that sometimes can get people ensnared when they pull out a cell phone camera and, around a police officer?
People could be charged with being disorderly persons if they engage in activity that interferes with with the arrest as it's going on, if they create public annoyance, inconvenience, and alarm through the use of these devices. And keep in mind, these devices didn't even exist 10 years ago, so we do have to expect that there's going to be a bit of a learning curve for the police on this.
Well, and is it, for both of you, I hope you'll address this, Tom Nolan, is it a fair argument that when someone is being recorded, they may act differently? I mean, when you know that a videotape or an audio tape is on you, do you show off for your friends? Does it change behavior in a way that can actually jeopardize police and might make police say, that's why we can't have video or audio here?
Well, someone may feign injury. Someone may claim that, you know, I'm bleeding under here. Or someone may make a claim that that somehow or may act out conspicuously if they know they're on camera. So it's a double-edged sword, I think.
Sarah, what about that double-edged sword? How do we prevent people from not putting on a show when they know that a camera is on them?
You know, the police come in all the time with all kinds of photographs and recordings and video of their own. And you have to deal in every case with the evidence. And does it seem to be tampered with or not? And I don't think this is any different. But it is a part of the body of evidence, and it has to be evaluated. I do want to say, in terms of bringing charges like disturbing the peace, those charges are sometimes made just to punish people who have been observing or speaking critically of the police. Look at the arrest of Henry Louis Gates. He yelled at the officer. He said, this is how black men are treated in America. Boom, he's under arrest for disturbing the peace.
Tom Nolan, do you consider that a fair charge? Would you consider fair, Sarah's comment fair?
I think there are occasions when people get swept up in the moment, and the police may overreact. I think the example of Professor Gates was one that the police have learned much from going forward. But there are situations when people do act out, do cause a considerable amount of interference with an arrest, and may be using these devices in certain situations.
Sarah, once you work for the ACLU, you end up representing people who've been arrested. What's your advice to people when they see something happening, they think, I want to pull out my camera phone, but I don't want to end up in jail?
Well, I have to give the young woman in this case, the RCC, Roxbury Community Incident, a lot of credit. I'm glad she was willing as a citizen to stand up there and record what was going on, even though there was a chance she would be arrested. If people are arrested on this charge where they've been openly recording and they are not getting in the way of the police, we want to hear from them.
And Tom, what's your advice? As someone who has been on the police side, do you think people need to be cautious when they see something they think might need some public accounting, but they're afraid?
They should be cautious and they should do it judiciously. I think what I was glad to see in the Roxbury Community College video clip was that the police officer, even though he admonished the individual to cease the recording, he didn't follow up on it. The recording, and the police spokeswoman is right on this, that the recording was allowed to proceed. So I think the police are getting to a place where they are more comfortable with being recorded.
Sarah and Tom, thanks to both of you for coming in the studio and talking about this. Tom Nolan is a criminal justice professor at Boston University and a veteran of the Boston Police Department. Tom, thanks. And Sarah Wunsch is an attorney with the ACLU. Sarah, thanks to you, too.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.